Today, the title of the message is For the Sake of the Gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 is where we'll begin reading. And would you stand as we read from the Word of God? For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to talk about, of course, being a soul winner. Would you like to know how to be a soul winner? Boy, I've spent a whole week studying something somebody that nobody wants to hear, right? Wouldn't it be good for you to be a soul winner?
Amen.
Well, we're going to talk about that. And there's basically one rule to being a soul winner that I want you to remember. Now, there's two rules to being a soul winner. I want you to remember. Have you got it? Put this, imprint this permanently in your mind. Rule number one, you can find it in Romans 1:16. Paul wrote that. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Rule number one. Can you repeat rule number one with me? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let's say it like we mean it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Do you understand what number one, rule number one is? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Rule number two. Always refer to rule number one. And you'll be a soul winner. Okay? Always refer to rule number one. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And you'll be a soul winner. Paul was the best at it. Okay? That's why he said in verse 23, he said, now this I do for the gospel's sake. What do you do for the gospel's sake? Do you know someone? Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a friend? Raise your hand if you have a friend. Good. I was worried about some of you for a moment. Do you know where they're going? I'm not talking about in this life. I'm talking about when this life is through. Do you have children? Do you know where they're going? Do you have co-workers? Do you know where they're going? You say, Brother Doug, am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely you are.
Amen.
You're here. And you're given a great commission. to go and make disciples. And you cannot make disciples without sharing Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, who, as I said, was the very best at sharing the gospel. And we're going to start with his salary. The salary of a soul winner. And of course, Paul's salary was no charge. In Paul's ministry, now imagine this. Paul's ministry, he was never paid a dime for preaching the gospel. Or if he was, there's no record of it. Now, he did receive a love offering on occasion from churches, but he was never under salary as a pastor or a missionary. And Paul had just spent the previous verses in chapter 9, he had just spent explaining the church's responsibility to take care of ministers. Okay? He says, Paul said, I have the right to be compensated or paid for what I do. In verse 9, Paul even said, the law states, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. Then he asked, do you think God was really talking about the ox or worried about the ox when he gave that? No, he was worried about his ministers. So Paul, he goes through a big long spiel reminding the Corinthians of their responsibility to take care of their ministers. And then he said, but I'm not going to take a dime. I'm not going to take a dime. Why? Because I don't want anything to get in the way of the gospel message. I don't want anyone to have anything to point a finger at me and cause the message that I preach not to be listened to because they think I am doing it for the money. Now, Paul, he had a part-time job. What was he? A tent maker. Preacher with a part-time job. That's just wrong, isn't it? No. Paul was so committed to getting the message of Jesus Christ out to people that he was willing to do whatever it took so that he could get the message out to Jesus. That's why he said, I'm not going to charge one dime for what I do, because I want you to hear the message. Then he goes on. That's not it. No charge. No slide. No choice. Well, you talk about a train derailing there. Paul said, I'm not going to charge a dime. Then he goes on, and the reason I'm not going to charge a dime, because I don't have any choice. He said, of necessity, or necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. He had an inward sense of duty that he could not preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, in this text, he said, woe to me if I could not preach the gospel. That word woe means disaster. Or even horror. Have you ever been at that point where you were just horrified over something? Paul's would have been horrified at the thought that he could not share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ever wonder why preachers preach? I'll share it with you right now. We don't have a choice. Okay? God does something to you when he calls you to preach. He builds a fire inside and you never get over it. All right? I'll be honest with you. There has been times in ministry that I've wanted to quit. You know why I didn't? Because I can't. I can't. I can't. But isn't that the way we should all be? I mean, let's face it. What is the most important thing that God has given to you? Is it not His Son Jesus who paid for your sins upon the cross of Calvary? Is that not the greatest thing in your life? That you know where you're going? Shouldn't we all have that fire? You may not be a pastor, but you should be a soul winner and have a passion and approach it from that point of view that I have no choice. I have to share the very best thing in my life, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, if you heard of a great sale, if they were giving new cars away for a dollar, Would you share the word? Oh, come on now. I tell everybody I know. Go down here to this motor company. They're giving cars away for a dollar. We'd all leave right now, wouldn't we? Listen, I want to tell you, there are better things than new cars, new homes, and things that we place so much emphasis on. People need to hear the gospel. And it's our job to bring them the gospel. And we should view it that I have no choice. There's never a question. Am I going to witness? I have to witness. Then we go on with no corruption. Paul said, the reason he did it, of course, without charge, was that I abuse not my authority. Now, I want you to understand what that means, okay? The New American Standard Bible states it a little differently. As a matter of fact, I think it's a better translation. It says, so as not to make full use of my right. All right? And what he's talking about is wasting his life. He's talking about taking advantage of every opportunity. See, Paul had the right to demand to be paid for a service, but he did not. And the reason he did not is because he wanted people to hear the message and not the messenger. You're a messenger if you are a child of God, of Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you, I want you to stop and I want you to consider, how am I doing? How am I doing in sharing the gospel? I mean, the reality is nothing else really matters. Do you know where your friends are going? Everybody's not going to heaven. I know it's politically correct to say that we all serve the same God and we have different names for Him and everybody's does the best they can and we're all just trying to get to heaven, but that's a lie from hell. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's your job. It's my job to tell people about the way. All right? I find it interesting that in the New Testament, they were known as people of the way. Yeah? We are people of the way. And if we do not share the way, there's no hope. Then let's go to the success of the soul winner. Paul said, I'm free from all men. I'm a slave to none. And notice that word men is in italics, okay? It actually says, I'm free from all. And that word all means every man and everything. There was nothing that laid claim to Paul's life that took precedence over sharing the gospel. Nothing. Finances. He wasn't a debtor to anyone. He was free from opinions and expectations, and all that didn't matter to him. The only thing that matters was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, we make life complicated, don't we? As a matter of fact, I was counseling with my daughter one time. I say counseling. I was being a parent with my daughter one time. And I was explaining to her right and wrong and different and whatever it was that we were dealing with. But I remember her response. Her response to me was, Dad, it's not that simple. It's complicated. You know what my response was? No, it's not. It's black and white. It's easy. It's elementary. You see, we let life become complicated with distractions and desires that have nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul, when he said, I'm free from everyone and everything, and the only thing I have to do is to share the gospel, and so I choose to be a servant to all. Again, all, everything, and everyone. Now I want you to grab this. Paul put himself in a position that it did not matter where he was, what he was doing, and what the circumstances were, he was there to share Jesus Christ. Okay? Get this. You're not here to be a doctor. You're not here to be a lawyer. You're not here to be an engineer. You're not here to be a worker at Walmart or a receptionist somewhere. That's not your plot in life, okay? You're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what has happened is God has made you a doctor, a lawyer, a receptionist, whatever you are. God has given you that platform to share who Jesus Christ is. How are you doing? Oh, Brother Doug, that scares me. Oh, listen. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But there's nothing that should have control over you that would prevent you from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that you know. Because I am assured that one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we are going to know those we did not witness to. And beloved, there will be no excuse. There will be. Well, Lord, I was scared. Can you imagine? Jesus, I was just too scared. Really? I faced the Sanhedrin for you. I went to Calvary for you. I was beaten by the Roman soldiers. I prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And you were too scared to tell someone what I did. There's no excuse. There is no excuse. It's not complicated. We're here for one purpose, and that is to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I've come, or I do what I do, that folks can be saved. To the Jews, I became a Jew. You see, Paul knew, he knew how to be a Jew. He was born a Jew, you know. He knew how they were, and he knew how to relate to those people. He said, I, to those under the law, I become as under the law. Paul could talk religion. He was good at talking religion. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law inside out. To those who were without the law, I became without the law. He's talking about us Gentiles. He said, I relate to the Gentiles. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the weak, I became weak. You go back to the book of 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul knew what it was to be weak. As a matter of fact, his prayer to have the thorn in the flesh removed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In weakness, my grace is made perfect. I'm made strong. Paul knew what it was to be weak. You see, wherever Paul found himself, he was sharing the gospel. And I want to tell you something. You see, most people in the world today think they have hired a pastor, associate pastor, youth pastor, seniors pastor, and it's their job to take care of the witnessing. It is not our job. It is our job to lead you in that direction. It is our job to witness to people that we come into contact in daily life. But it is our job to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all of us. Every one of us. I want you to understand how important your role is. Because there are people that will not speak to me. Did you know that? There are people who will not speak to me as a preacher. They won't do it. Why, Brother Doug? Because I'm a preacher. All right? And they find that out and the door just closes. But you know what? They'll speak to you. They'll speak to you. Because you work with them and you're just a regular guy. You're just a regular girl. You're not that old preacher, the pastor of that church down the road. You're just a regular person. And they'll talk to you when they won't talk to me or Brother Michael or Brother Kelly or Brother Ken. You see, evangelism has to be a lifestyle. And we have to realize that where we are, God has given this platform to you as an individual. And it's your place, it's my place to make the most of the opportunity that God has set before us. Paul said, if you're going to be a soul winner, you've got to be self-controlled. You got to control you. You got to be in it to win it. How many like to win? The rest of you are lying or asleep, one of the two. We all like to win. Amen? Amen? What about winning souls? Absolutely. Paul says, and he compares it to a race, and he said, you don't run a race to lose. You run it to win. You see, here's the problem in Christianity today. My biggest fear in all this is that a lot of people are going for the participation trophy. You know what I'm talking about, right? You see, everybody's a winner nowadays. Just show up for the game and we all get trophies and skip and hold hands and go home afterwards. And everybody's happy because everybody got a participation trophy. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and there are no participation trophies. None. None. I know it's difficult sometimes. But you see, you've got to know who you're fighting. You're fighting old Satan, and he'll give you every reason in the world not to be a witness. He will make you afraid. He will discourage you. He will have some people that tell you, oh, I don't want to hear that junk. Don't bring that junk in here, you know, and intimidate. Understand, you're not fighting those people. That's Satan talking. All right? And what I'm suggesting is that we as God's people have got to grow a backbone. Be willing to do those things that we're not comfortable with, you know? those things that we've never done before. Oh, Brother Doug, what if I say something wrong? What are you going to say wrong? What are you going to say wrong? Well, Brother Doug, they're going to ask me things I don't know. People ask me things I don't know all the time. Then you know what I say? I don't know. Brother Doug, what do you think? I don't know. And see, that's one of the big things that people will do. They'll try to get you off the message of sharing the gospel. And so they'll ask you about the rapture or about the book of Revelation. Well, what about that second coming thing? And you say, I don't know about that, but let me tell you what I do know. I know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You see? You don't let them sidetrack you. Realize where that's coming from. That's Satan getting in the way. It's a race. Be in it to win it. And realize it's a requirement of every child of God. The Great Commission was never designed to be an option. It was a commandment. Here's what is required of us as children of God if we're going to be successful in soul winning. First of all, we have to be temperate. Means exercising self-control. Not being controlled by outside forces. Forces like fear. Because honestly, that is the biggest reason I'm given today. The reason people do not witness. I'm afraid. It's either pretty much that or laziness. And let's be honest, it's just easier not to witness, isn't it? It's just easier not to tell people about Jesus Christ. But folks, we got to get over that. People are dying without Jesus. And if we don't do something about it, something will not be done. It's our job. We've got to be temperate. We've got to be goal and purpose driven. Okay? You got to know why you're doing what you're doing. You're doing what you're doing because you don't want to see your friend spend eternity in hell. You want your friend to know the joy of salvation that you know. You want your children to know the joy of salvation. You don't want them going through this life alone. That's why we share Jesus Christ. But see, sometimes we lose motivation. Last year, I was had my annual checkup. And in this annual checkup, doctor says, "You're doing good. Just one thing, cholesterol is a little high." You ever heard that before? Doctor says, "Cholesterol is a little high." Okay. So I get in the exercise program, you know, and become more minded of walking and what I'm eating and best grilling vegetables, you know, for dinner and I'm eating salads. So I go back for my annual checkup this year. The doctor calls me. You know where this is going, right? He calls me and says, "Boy, your blood work looks really good. You've only got one little problem. Your cholesterol is a little bit high." And it made me mad. I'm telling you, it made me angry. It did. You know? And I'm thinking, I've been walking. I don't eat hamburgers anymore. I've marked pizza off my list. And I like pizza. You know what I did? I said, "Thank you very much, doctor. We'll work on it some more." And hung up. Then that night, I called and I ordered me the biggest pizza with the most meat on it that I could get. And I ate it. And I enjoyed it. But I lost my motivation, the point to that story. But then it dawned on me, "Well, dummy, you didn't do any good. You didn't, you know, that pizza probably raised you instead of lowering the cholesterol thing." But here's the point. You know, we come up with every reason in the world not to witness. Somebody slammed the door in my face. Somebody told me they didn't want to hear it from me. I was afraid, and we lose that motivation. So easy. "I'm doing better. I'm being nicer, okay, in what I eat." That was a one-time cheat. No, it wasn't a one-time cheat. But anyway. I'm still conscious of that. What I want you to get, we're here to tell people about Jesus. We may get lazy, we may get fearful, we may get discouraged, we may, you know, whatever. But that's not a reason to quit. That's not a reason to do nothing. God has you here for a purpose. That purpose is to share Jesus Christ. How are you doing? The people that you know, do you know where they're going? You see, you've got to, Paul said, "I discipline my body." And that's what we've got to do. We've got to discipline ourselves. That word discipline means to strike in the face. Okay, it literally means to strike. When he says discipline, it means to slap in the face. You don't have to slap yourself, but you know it's the equivalent. Sometimes you just got to say, "Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm petrified. I'm scared to death. But I'm going to tell that person about Jesus Christ anyway." Sometimes you have to say, "Yes, they offended me. But I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell them again." You see, you just got to keep on keeping on. As children of God, what's my goal for this message? To remind every one of us why we're here, from the pulpit to the pew, because quite honest with you, I am not as faithful as I should be as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Doug, you're a preacher." Yes, I am, and we struggle too. You know, we do. If we don't tell the story, the story will not be told. Let us be faithful as witnesses and outgoing in testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, you may be here today. Now I'm going to take just a moment in closing. And I want to talk to you if you do not know where you're going when this life is over. Here's a fact that you need to know. It's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die. And when you die, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And that is determined by what you have done with Jesus. Okay? It's not determined by, is your name on a church row? It's not determined by, are you a good person or does everybody think you're a good person? It's determined by what you've done with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ gave His life because you're a sinner. Let's just call it as it is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. Okay? And if you die right now without Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell, which is torment. Okay? The flames of hell. And that's just the way it is. Sometimes you've got to say it the way it is, right? There is a heaven and there is a hell. Where are you going? If you're not here, if you do not have the assurance of Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're gonna have a verse of invitation, and I'm gonna invite you to come. You say, Brother Doug, it petrifies me to think of stepping out in front of all these people. That voice you're hearing right now is Satan. Okay? He's saying, don't do it. He's saying, put it off. He's saying, there'll be another time. But right now, all we have is right here and right now. Okay? We don't know what the next hour holds. Are you a child of God? Do you know where you're going? If not, this invitation's for you. If you are a child of God, but you're not a witness, maybe we need to start praying for those people that we know. I want to tell you something else I've figured out. It always helps to pray before you go. Okay? Maybe you need to spend time at this altar asking God to open the door for you to be a witness. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory. Whatever your spiritual need is, I just ask you to do one thing. Don't do anything because this preacher's pressured you or anything that I've said. You listen to God as He speaks through His Holy Spirit to your heart. And do what He leads you to do. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. Lord, we thank You for Your love, for Your provision. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that was made for our sin. Lord, revive us in the area of evangelism. Give us a passion for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love You, but quite honestly, we know that sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes when we should be witnessing, we make excuses. Lord, we don't want to make excuses anymore. So I pray. I pray for a boldness for myself as being a witness. I pray for a boldness for our membership as being a witness to You. And I pray, Lord, that through the outreach and the evangelism efforts of this church, that we will see a great harvest of souls saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.